flame. When all the good was consumed, the body fell, unhurt. Only a little of his hair was singed, and his body was hardened.
Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another. Stacked them stones, one on another. Stacked them stones for you and me, for the children of God.
Will you eat great lunch with them? And it will come. And turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy 3:1. When you get there, say amen. Yet, 3:12, sorry about that. I grabbed the wrong verse. But this verse, this chapter is talking about perilous times. But in perilous times, which is here, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. If you live godly, you will suffer persecution. We should lay down our lives for the Lord if it's called for. No matter what anybody thinks, none of these people that I named off or anything cared what anybody else thought. They care about God, not anybody. And that's just what I wanted to bring tonight. God led me to it a while back ago, and I just went back to it this week and studied over it. And He gave me more than what I had before. So, all right, well, I'm going to pray, and then Daddy can come up here. Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing us to have this service tonight. Please help Daddy with his sermon. Please help us to get something from it, Lord. We got something from it the last few times He's brought it. Please help, let it be a blessing like the ones before, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Question?
I did.
That's both questions. All right, let's take our Bible.
And we're going to begin looking there in verse 35. Give you just a minute to find that. Matthew 9, verses 35 and through 38. In the last several Sundays, we have been talking on the subject of how to pray for our lost loved ones. It's like I said earlier, it's very important that we understand that God's very much behind us praying for the lost. I mean, we're to witness. Don't get me wrong. We're to witness, but we're to pray. Amen. We are to lift them up before the Lord. We've talked about that, how we ought to pray with a travailing prayer, with a pleading prayer, with aggressive prayer. We've went through all those, self-sacrificing. But tonight we're going to come down to the fact of praying for laborers. And if you saw the bulletin this morning, it had a picture that kind of it kind of brought that out. Front of the bulletin said labor needed. And if you looked on there, if you can read that, it showed there in the corner. It showed, most of y'all, or some of y'all probably didn't know what that is. Some of you probably do. That was a sharpening stone. Old-timey sharpening stone. It had a little cup for water to drip down on the sharpening stone. But it said systematic prayer and Bible study. Systematic prayerful Bible study. And we need to have that relationship with Christ. We need to have that praying and studying our Bible and making ourselves, like we talked about this morning, making ourselves ready to be witnesses. Because if we're not close to Christ, we're not going to do any good. You know, again, we're vessels. And just like you and I mean, God, look, God's got sense. Don't you all know that? God's got more sense than we ever thought about having. And you and I know, I don't know how it is in your house, but in my house, see, the kids wash dishes. And I'm very particular about whether or not a glass I'm getting a drink out of is clean or not. When your kids wash dishes, you tend to worry about stuff like that. Amen? Is this washed? Did the dishwasher, are these dishes in the dishwasher clean? Oh, I forgot to turn it on. You know, you may be drinking out of something. Who knows what was in it? Listen. You don't want to take a dirty cup and go get you a glass of iced tea. Take a dirty glass and go get some ice water. And God, the same way, is not going to take a dirty vessel and go and fill that vessel and use that vessel to pour out to others. God is very much about cleanness. And so we need to make sure that our vessels are clean so that he will be willing to use us. Amen? And so we're going to talk about praying for laborers and about these laborers, well, being the right kind of laborers. Amen? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. The Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And I want you to think for just a second now before we pray. Jesus likens all these lost people that he saw to a harvest. And as he was saying, he went around from town to town, from place to place, and he saw so many people that were lost. All these people everywhere. And here is just him and a few disciples and a few followers. And it really and I hate to use the words tore him up inside, but it truly did. It tore him up inside to look at them and see how many lost people there were and that they were going to go to hell. And it wasn't enough for him to go around everywhere. And there weren't enough people with him to go around everywhere. And it'd be like a man who planted all these fields after fields after fields after fields of wheat. Or he had orchards that just covered the countryside. And everything's coming ripe at the same time. And there's not enough workers to go gather in all the harvest. He knows it's going to spoil on the ground. But he's talking about souls of men, of women, of boys and girls. And folks, we've got to get burdened like Jesus had. And he said to pray therefore the Lord harvest. He's saying go to the Father that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's go to the Lord prayer tonight. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do come to you. Lord, this is serious business. Lord, this is your business. This is more important than anything we have. Father, this is what you've called us to do. This is our work for you. Father, this is serious to you. It's the nearest thing to your heart. Lord God, I pray tonight the Holy Spirit of God might take control of this service. Lord God, I pray that you would, Father, seize every heart, each and every mind. Lord, I pray that you take control of this preacher. Lord, let not anything hinder me tonight. Lord God, not a single thing. I pray tonight for absolute peace in my heart and mind. And Lord, I pray for Holy Ghost control. Help the preacher tonight to deliver the message that needs to be delivered. And Lord, I pray that each one receive it according to your will. Lord, give me unction and power tonight for Jesus' sake. And in his name I ask these things. Amen. I want you to turn your Bible to Romans 10. Romans 10, this is a bit more Bible study than it is a sermon. But you know about my Bible studies, I always got sermons in them. So Romans 10, 14 and 15, I want you to look at that passage very quickly. Romans 10, 14 and 15. So he's saying that we ought to pray and ask the Father, Lord, there are lost people all around us. We need laborers. There's a work to be done, Lord. We sang that song just a little bit ago, little is much when God is in it. In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. You know, God wants us in the work. Romans chapter 10, 14 and 15. The Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be, look at that word, sent. Amen. Remember what I just read? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. God says when you are about his business of telling people to be saved, you're in beautiful feet. Amen. Now, some of y'all, when you take your shoes off at night, you look at your feet and you don't think your feet are beautiful. Amen. I don't think that. I look at my feet. But God, when we're in his work, we're going to those who need Christ. He says, man, you got beautiful feet. Amen. Now, he says they need to be sent. Amen. What is soul winning? I tell you what soul winning is. Soul winning, if you want to break it down, it's right there in that passage. It's backwards. God put it in there backwards, but you look at it. He says, number one, looking at starting there in verse 15 and going backwards, he said, and how shall they preach except they be sent? So when you go to win a soul to Christ, you're going to preach the gospel. And you say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, you don't have to be a preacher to preach the gospel. Amen. If you know the gospel, if you have believed upon Christ, if you have been born again, then you can preach the gospel. Amen. You don't have to be ordained to preach the gospel. You don't have to be licensed to preach the gospel. You simply have to be saved. Amen. Men need to tell people how to be saved. Women need to tell people how to be saved. Little boys need to tell people how to be saved. Little girls need to tell people how to be saved. Older ladies need to tell people how to be saved. Older men need to tell people how to be saved. Amen. If dogs could do it, I'd say dogs need to tell people how to be saved, but they can't. God's put it on us. Amen. But he says, how shall they preach except they be sent? So when soul winning, number one is preaching. But you know what? You can't do that without the Holy Spirit's help. Now we're getting into our Wednesday study. All these things are latching on to each other. You've got to have Holy Ghost power if you're going to preach the gospel. It's not a natural thing to preach the gospel. It's very unnatural. It has nothing to do with your natural self. It has nothing to do with your natural mind or your natural body. It is a supernatural thing, and you and I are not equipped to do supernatural things. So, when we pray, God, please send folks out to win souls, you're actually asking for God to send you. Amen? Because you are to go as well. Now, I wouldn't just pray, Lord, send me out. I'd say, Lord, send a bunch of people out. We need people out winning souls, and I wouldn't step back and not volunteer. I think I'd volunteer and say, Lord, I need to go. You give me the power to do it, and I ask you to send others too. Amen? Send me, and Lord, help me to preach with the Holy Ghost help, because you can't do it. Amen? And look here, we talked this morning about soul winning with Jesus. You know, he didn't let somebody's race stop him. She was a Samaritan, he was a Jew. He didn't let her talk of religion about, you know, we worship at this mountain and y'all worship at Jerusalem. He didn't let that religious talk bother him. He didn't let anything stop. He didn't let her background stop him. He didn't let nothing stop him. He went and told her about her need for salvation. And that is what we are going ought to go and do, what we have to go and do if we're going to please God. So he preached the Holy Ghost help. Now what happens next? The Bible says, how shall they hear? Okay, first of all, how shall they preach? They need to preach with the Holy Ghost help. That's all they can be able to. Number two, how shall they hear? They hear with the Holy Ghost help. Amen. You can tell somebody until you're blue in the face, but until the Holy Ghost of God opens their ears, opens their understanding, they can't hear it. Amen. And people hears it over and over and over and over, and then one day, boom, their eyes are opened. Lord, like Barbara said, the Holy Spirit turns the light on in their soul, and they see it for the very first time. They realize they need to be born again. Okay? So with the Holy Ghost help, we got to pray for these things. Lord, I'm praying for you to help me to preach the gospel because I can't do it. Lord, I'm praying that you help them hear because they can't do it naturally. It's a supernatural act of God they hear. And Lord, I'm praying number three, how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? Hey, they can't believe unless the Holy Ghost gets involved. Amen? It's the Holy Ghost that allows them to believe. When Jesus talked about they couldn't come to him, we're not given to them of my Father. Amen? And the Holy Spirit of God has to draw them and convict them to convert them. Amen? So you pray for them to leave. All right? And then, look here. How then shall they call on him? You got to pray, God, bring them to call on him. Can I say something to you tonight? I was trained in the mastermind school of how to get somebody to pray. Amen. I mean, I was taught the method of how to get them to never say no to him. Do you know that ain't God's way? And you may have been trained the same way, but you know, working with them Mormons, you done figured out that don't necessarily work. Amen. You run up and get some cases, you can't get them to pray. You can try sales techniques. Amen. That's what they taught me in the car business too. They taught me how to get them to say yes. They taught me in the insurance business how to get a yes. Do you know I was trained it this way. I'd say, let me think how we did it. It's been so long since I've done it. But I've taught y'all wrong. When you get to that verse that says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'd say now, can we use your own to get a hold of Jesus? They say, no. Kind of chuckle. And I say, can we write a letter? No. Say, well, how do we get a hold of Jesus? You pray. All right, let's have our head and pray. I was going for the clothes, you see. I was trying to get them to close right then and there. And you know what? You get like that kind of caught them. You know, they told me what they needed to do, so I caught them. Now I get them to pray. Now, I did something there, but did God? You know what? God finally showed me that. And I pray God for that he showed me that. But you see, I taught that. It's hard to unlearn something when you get taught something, but I praise God I unlearned it. Listen to me. If God is, listen, don't think what I'm saying. Hey, I want want people to get saved or anything in the world. But I'm here to tell you right now that if God is in it and God is moving and God is working, the devil cowers in fear. I was told by more than one soul winner, you don't want the devil to get in there and stop what you're doing. Let me say something. If God, the Holy Ghost, is convicting them and breaking them down and drawing them, God is working, and the devil cowers in fear when God starts working. I'm going to tell you something. If somebody's really get saved, you ain't got to beg them to pray. Do you know in this, and I'm not trying to get all off on some tangent, and I'm all for playing music, and I'm all for invitations, but do you know that's a modern thing? Just as I step back, come down the aisles, down to the altar. Do you know that's a modern thing? Do you know what preacher? You know what Baptist preachers used to do? They would preach a hellfire, damnation message, and they'd say amen. They'd pray and they'd end it. And they'd preach it, I mean, revival meetings. They preach a scalding message, and then they would close in prayer and done. And you know what the people would do? They would go home and they would fret and twist and wring their hands. They didn't know what to do. Finally, they'd call out to God and get saved. God dealt with them. Now we've made it easy. Come on. Nobody's looking. Everybody's head's bowed. Nobody's going to look. Secretly come down here. We don't want you to. Nobody embarrass you. It's a shameful thing to get saved. It's not that way. We have sugarcoated it and dressed it up and tried to make it look like it's like he's preached. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Men used to cry out from the pews in fear of going to hell. But we've made it so that we're so solemn and we want to make it so easy. That's part of what's wrong. I didn't intend to go there, but I went there, so be it. But if the Holy Ghost is on them, if the Holy Ghost is working, if they're under conviction, it's not hard for them to get them to call on him. Amen? Number one tonight. You thought I already had number one, right? All right, number one. We need to pray they'll send out more workers. Matthew 9:37. Again, he said, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest is plenteous. Harvest is plenteous, but laborers are few. Strong's defines few as puny in content. Puny extent, degree, number, duration, or value. Puny. In other words, harvest is plenteous, but laborers are puny. That's a good word for it, puny. Amen. We need to pray God to help in this area and get rid of this puny condition. Amen. And listen, those of us who will witness, those of us who know how to witness, need to pray fervently for more to go. Amen. I wonder if you ain't never tried to lead anybody to Jesus, you need to pray fervently that you'll go and you'll tell. And I'm not saying we're going to have an organized time where we're all go out into the city. Listen, you know enough people right now around you that you ought to be able to go to them on your own. Amen? We need to pray that God will throw more workers into the field. That's what, listen, that ought to be a holy drive in you that says, I can't let people go to hell. I'm saved. I got to tell somebody. Even in this hour, even in this Laodicean time age where everybody don't care no more. Listen, we're just holding on, waiting for Jesus to come back. We need to snap out of it and realize that the war's not over. You know what? We resemble a bunch of people at about 4:55 Friday in some office building. We're filing papers away and folks digging their purses, looking for car keys. We act like it's time to go home. The Lord hasn't sounded quitting time bell yet. Amen. Still people out there needs to be born again. They're going to die. They're going to split hell wide open. Verse said that he'll send forth That word is ekbalo. It means to cast out, to drive out, to expel, to thrust out, to put forth, or to eject. God sent them out. Our God is more determined about soul winning than we are. As I said a while ago when I was praying, it is the nearest thing to his heart. If you want to pray, if you think about how Jonah resisted God in going to Nineveh to preach, God kind of forced him to go, didn't he? He thrust him forth. He put him in a whale's belly, and the whale vomited him up on the shore. He said, "You're going." Same thing happened at Jerusalem to the church there. We're up in their comfort zone. It may have been an uncomfortable zone. I don't know what it was, but anyway. But they didn't. They had it all right there. They wasn't going out with it. God allowed persecution so that it would send them out. I think God would rather us go willingly than have forced us out. Amen. I really do. But Acts 8:1 chronicles this and said, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution unto the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." They were scattered. Amen. Acts 8:4 says, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." The reason, I mean, today, I remember Brother Curtis saying years ago, said the emphasis in the modern church is on gathering the people. The early New Testament church, the emphasis was on scattering the people. We got it backwards. Listen, we all worried about how many's going to come. We ought to be concerned about how many are going. People are going to die, folks, without Jesus. It's not about how many numbs we can get. It's not about padding our pews or padding pocketbooks or building multi-purpose facilities. Or it's not about building something. It's about keeping people out of hell for eternity. That's what it's about. Listen to me. I don't care if they get saved and go to somebody else's church as long as they hear something's right. But they ought to be saved. Amen? What a horrific thought that somebody you know cries out from hell. What a horrific thought that someday you see them again at the great white throne judgment, and they look at you in your robe of white as they brought in by angels about to be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. Look at you. There's a Bible verse over in Matthew that said, "In the end, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just." And I've always read that verse and pictured in my mind that great white throne judgment when the wicked, those being the lost, come and latch on to those that they knew in this life, pleading with them, "Help me. Why didn't you ask? Why didn't you tell me? Why were you quiet? I'm damned for all eternity. I'm about to be cast into the lake of fire. Why?" And the angels have to rip them away from us before they kneel before Jesus and confess there that he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and then they're thrown in that lake of fire and brimstone, which burns for all eternity. I mean, what a horrific thought. That's true. That's real. Since the laborers are not only puny in number, but also in duration and value, we need to pray that God will outfit people to be effective witnesses. Outfit us. Equip us. God, listen, you can't do it. We're good at making excuses. Well, I don't know what day I'd get to that, I'd go blank, you can come up with every excuse in the world. Believe me, I know. I remember when I used to sell insurance I hated selling insurance. Hated worse than selling insurance. I can't tell you how many days I wasted driving around, just burning gas, Ricky. I mean, burning gas, listening to the radio, because I didn't want to go talk to nobody about insurance, because I hated insurance so bad. My numbers were dipping and dropping, but I just couldn't stand it. I hated it. I got out of the insurance business too. Amen. But you know what? There's people that just talking to somebody about Jesus like that. Oh, I'll do it some other time. It ain't a good time. They had a funny look on their face. There was somebody around. It was a strange car to drive away. I couldn't go by there then. They looked at me funny the other day, and I got to think they might care something between me and them. I just can't go right now. I got a quart of milk in the refrigerator about to go bad. I'll go home and drink. And you come up with any kind of reason if you look for one. I got to go Walmart and go grocery shopping. Amen. Everybody hates doing that. But we'd rather go do that than sit down and share with somebody something that might free their soul from eternal damnation. See, God will equip you. Amen. God will equip you. You remember David when he was about to go out and fight Goliath? Saul tried to put all that armor on him, and the armor just totally didn't fit. And he took them off, and he said, I hadn't proved them. In other words, I've never fought a battle in this armor. But hey, this slingshot, I fought a bear, I fought a lion. God delivered me from both of them. Listen, if God has done great things in our life, this is God who saved our soul. This is God who has done all the great and magnificent, wonderful things for us in our life, who has never failed us one time. And if God has sent us, and God has told us that He would do all the work, then why would we not understand that God will equip us? The only conceivable reason that I can come up with that we would doubt is that we ourselves are not right with God. Amen. We ourselves are not close enough to God to feel like that God's going to be there. And if that's the problem, then we need to get right with God. Like I said, God does the equipping. That equipping comes through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. God doesn't rent out His attributes. He doesn't loan them to you. Amen. He gives them to you. And the way to have them is to be filled with His Spirit. His presence always comes with His power. If He's there in your life, He's present in your life, if He's working and moving in your life, His power is available in your life. Understand that? You get close to Him, you get that relationship going with Him, the power will be on. Amen. So how do we have His power? Well, okay, I'm glad you asked. Amen. Luke 11:13. If ye then, Jesus said, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Ask Him. Now listen, that sounds pretty simple. Well, gee, all I can do is go to God and say, Lord, I need power to witness people. I need power to talk to them for them to get saved. But see, what happens is when you do that, God's going to say, okay, well, what about this in your life that I don't like? I need the power of God, Father. I need the Holy Spirit power. Well, what about how you act here with this person? What about this secret thing? What about that pride? What about that gossiping done? Hey, guess what? We're going to have to confess some sin. God's not going to back. Again, God's going to use that vessel. Amen? There's going to have to be some cleaning work that gets done before it's ever going to work. Before He's going to fill you with His power and equip you to do it, you're going to have to get clean. Amen? We ought to expect to have to remove what's in the way of His blessing. Amen? I mean, if I pick up a cup, put some coffee in it, and it's got some old milk in it, I'm going to wash it out. Hey, I'm probably going to get a different cup. But I'm saying if that's the only cup I got, I'll wash it out. I'll wash it good, too. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to wash you out and clean you out. Amen? But here's the thing. Once we get all those things cleaned out. If we confess our sins, faithful and just, to give us our sin and cleanse us from all righteousness, he doesn't just clean us and leave us empty. He wants to fill us. He starts blessing, we get clean. Amen. Acts 1, 4, and 5, the Bible says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water. He said, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. He promised to baptize us with the Holy Ghost. Well, what happens when we get baptized with the Holy Ghost? Now, I'm telling you, now it depends on who you ask. You ask the charismatic what happens when you get baptized with the Holy Ghost, you get something totally different than what I'm going to tell you. I mean, what they tell you has nothing to do with witnessing. What they tell you have everything to do with an outward spiritual experience that gratifies themselves. Well, if you want to know what happens, the Lord gives us, just a few verses down from what I just read, what happens. In Acts 1:8, he told us what happens. He said, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And he said, but ye shall receive power. Man, that's what I lack. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So when the Holy Ghost takes control of me, I'll have power. I need power. Power to do what, Jesus? Oh, it's pretty simple. He said, and you shall be witnesses unto me. So when I have that power, I don't jump around and toot like a choo-choo train. You know, just talk about how good it feels. No, start witnessing. Amen. It's not something fragile. Amen. It's not something fleeting until we stop wanting the power of God and we start going back to the flesh. Amen. If we'll live in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what the Bible says. Amen. He says, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea. He said, well, I'm not in Jerusalem, and I'm not in all Judea, and in Samaria. I'm not in Samaria, but whoa, there's the other part. And unto the uttermost part of the earth. Well, there we are. Amen. That's us. Power, witnessing, everywhere. That's what happens when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. So how did I get baptized in the Holy Ghost again? You get clean. You clean your vessel. So God has something to pour his power into. That's all getting baptized. Listen, it's not spooky. Getting baptized in the Holy Ghost is not spooky. This body, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Or you could say it's the vessel of the Holy Ghost. Right? Our body is his. He bought it with his salvation. It is his vessel. He gave us. The Holy Ghost is in us, right? Okay. So when we live unto ourselves and live lives that are full of us and very selfish-minded, very prideful, very I'm going to do it my way, do what I want to do, which is very devilish and satanic. We don't even realize it, but it is. It's satanic. By the way, there was an old guy over in England many years ago, and he's very, very famous, even though you may not really know him. His name is Aleister Crowley. He was a premier Satanist. His mother and his dad were both Christians, and his mother called him the Beast, 666. He said, if anybody's the devil, he's the devil. His own mother. He is the one who coined the phrase, do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. In other words, do what you want is the main thing. And it's been echoed in music, in movies, in everything, down through history. The whole counterculture, the whole 60s youth revolution, Timothy Leary, all that garbage. Do as thou wilt. Now it's in rap music. That's what they're promoting in rap music. It just goes from cultural thing to cultural thing to cultural thing. It captivates. That's what MTV preaches. Do what you want to do. Do your thing. That's what Hollywood promotes. That's what fashion promotes. Do what you want to do. That's what the homosexuals preach. That's what all. That's what the feminist movement preaches. That's what the abortion crowd preaches. That's what the liberals preach. Do what you want to do. You know why they're pushing the satanic agenda? And you and I, whether we want to be affected by it or not, are affected by it. We have been trained. We have a natural sin nature that latches on to that idea when we don't get our way. My little two-year-old grandson was at the house yesterday, and he was swimming. And he loves to swim. He loves getting that pool. Guess what? They got him out. And for 40 minutes straight, I bet, he screamed his head off. You know what I said? Somebody tear his hide off. Because he, I walked in the living room and I said, I said, just go ahead and scream. It won't be long. They're going to tear your hide off. You know what? You know why he was screaming? Because he wanted to do as thou wilt. That's what the flesh wants to do. It's a natural reaction, but I'm telling you, until we get that satanic garbage out of it, why do you think God says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft? Rebellion is do as thou wilt. And that's why it's saying it's just like witchcraft, because it is witchcraft. It's Satanism. Satan. Look, that's what Satan did. He said, look, God's got all that power. I want to be like him. I'll do what I want to do. I'll rebel. That's what he was cast out of heaven for. That's what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. It's just plain and simple sin. Until we go to God and get clean, we'll never have the power of God to witness. Now, let me tell you something. When you get clean, understand something. Holy Ghost power is your birthright. It's not something that's unattainable. It's not some hard-to-get thing. That's your birthright. Being born again, it's your birthright. Acts 2, 38 and 39. Then Peter said unto them, repent. That means to turn from their sin, which was believing the law could save them. That was their main weakness in rejecting Christ. I mean, whatever in their case it may have been, but that was their gross sin, was that they had rejected Jesus. They had turned away from him, and they believed that the law somehow could save them. And they were to turn and believe on Jesus. He said, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What did he mean by that? He meant, listen, when you get born again, you have the power of God. That's what it means. He said, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That means this to us. It wasn't some Jewish thing. That's all of us. So why is it that so many Christians seem so powerless? We've been promised this from God. It ought to be an indicator as to how deceived the church is and how deceptive the devil's being. We have had it just stolen from us right before our eyes and believing we can't have that power. Listen to Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. That is the greatness of his power. It's a greatness of his power. It's according to his working of his mighty power. It's not us. It's his mighty power that works in us. Amen. And it's available. He's in us. The power's in us. We simply, again, the vessel has got to be cleaned of this. I want to do thy will. It has got to be laid down and sacrificed to God and say, God, it's not longer what I will, but thy will be done. And when we yield, we're emptying, scrubbing, and letting God scrub and clean every area of us and head to toe and mind and everything. And saying, God, here's me. Take me. I'm no good. Clean me and make me what you want me to be. I yield myself to you. Oh, God, you have to do it. And God will take you and clean you. And when he cleans you and he fills you, there's power. It's not your power. It's his power. But there's power. And if you let him guide, let him lead, and let him direct you to them, God will use you to be a force for his sake to lead people to Jesus. And we need to do it because souls are plunging blindly into hell. Listen to Isaiah 5:14. I'm almost done, by the way. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and openeth her mouth without measure. Opened her mouth without measure. We can't even comprehend how many people go to hell. You think about how many people die every second in this world. I don't know how many die every second, but I guarantee you, it's more than you want to think about. It's just a steady pouring of souls into hell every moment we live. If we could see it, if some way I could take you to the mouth of hell and we could sit and watch people, literally, spiritually, their souls being poured into hell, as if some great hole that opened up in the earth and some great huge gathering of people, and they're like in the Old Testament when the earth opened up, swallowed up Korah and his group, and they started falling down into hell. That's what's literally happening. We got to pray that God's workers, including ourselves, be filled with the Holy Ghost and equipped for service. I'm going to give you a few thoughts and then we'll go to the house. Equipped for service. Listen to this. We need to be equipped with power and boldness. Power and boldness. I mean, God's going to do that. But that's what we need. Acts 4:31 said, and when they had prayed, they prayed. The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. That's what Jared was preaching about. Stephen, when he stood out there in that corner of the city, he preached with boldness. He didn't hold back, even though it meant his life. He preached with boldness. Paul, when he went before Agrippa, he didn't plead for his life. He stood and preached with boldness. Where does that boldness come from? It came from Holy Ghost power. Amen. Where did that man with a flower in his hand get that boldness as he went to his death? It came from Holy Ghost power. Tale after tale. You ought to get, there's a great book called Martyr's Mirrors. Fox's Book of Martyrs is a good book, but Martyr's Mirrors, I've heard it's got all the Baptist martyrs in it that Fox's Book of Martyrs left out. And the reason Fox's Book of Martyrs left it out is because it wasn't written by Baptists. That's why. And a lot of them people are the ones that killed the Baptist. Amen? We need to be equipped with power and boldness. Number two, we need to be equipped with wisdom. You need wisdom if you're going to be a soul winner. You need to know, you know, the Bible says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Fitly spoken, at the right time, the right word. You need wisdom to deal with people. Amen? You know, you need to be, God will help you be a people person. To know how to talk to people. Right now, maybe you feel weird talking to people you don't know. You know, God can take you past that. I've heard preacher after preacher after preacher who talked about how they were horribly shy before God called them into the ministry. And God delivered them from that shyness. God can deliver you from not wanting to talk to people. Amen? He'll equip you with wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. God will make you wise. You start winning souls. Number three, He'll equip you with zeal. You need that. You need power. You need wisdom. You need zeal. Zeal. We say, what's zeal? Zeal is that rocket fuel. I got to go get it. I got to go do it. Let's get them. Let's charge hell with a squirt gun. Let's go for God. We need some zeal. Amen? Zeal is like it. Like that powder in the bottle rocket that makes it go shoot. Amen. That's zeal. We say, boy's a go-getter. He's got zeal. Amen. We need some zeal. Colossians 4:12-13. Epaphras, Paul was bragging on this preacher, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. It was one of the preachers from the church. He'd come down to visit Paul, and he was there telling him, hey, Paul's writing him a letter. And Epaphras says, hey, man, make sure you tell him I said hi. Make sure, don't let him forget I'm down here. He's full of zeal, you see. He wanted him to know, hey, man, Epaphras is down here praying for you. He saluteth you. He says hi, in other words, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Paul, he wanted Paul to let him know, hey, don't you let him forget I'm down here praying for him all the time, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I'm praying for you that you don't fall down. He said, for I bear him record that he hath a great zeal in them that are in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. We need a great zeal. Number four, equip with compassion. Compassion. Being able to feel that these people are lost and need Jesus. Having a burden. Your heart breaking for people that are dying, going to hell. Jude 22:23, and of some have compassion, making a difference. I mean, you know, when you heard that F5 tornado went through Oklahoma, and I know you probably watched the news and you heard the stories, you saw parents standing there weeping. You know, your heart goes out to people. You say, man, I hope they find them kids. You know, people crying out, hollering, screaming their children's name, digging through piles of rubble. I mean, your heart goes out to people like that. But just imagine that. That's the way it's going to be when we watch people we know go off into hell. It's too late there. We need to have compassion now. Be touched by the fact that they're lost now. Make a difference. How do you make a difference? You get filled with the Holy Ghost and you tell them about Christ and of others, saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. You understand? That's how. Listen, that's a description if there ever was one. Pulling them out of the fire. Amen. I'm bragging on her, but I'm going to say this. I praise God for the attitude Katrina had about this mess with her son. She got some zeal about it and said, I'm not going to let drugs take my son. She drug him out of the fire. Not literal fire, but she drug him out of the life of drugs that he had then got into. She said, you're not going. I'm going to pull you. I'm your mother and I'm pulling you back. I commend her for doing that. Amen. And I know she probably won't tell it, but she left here from church and she saw somebody doing a drug deal and got out of the car and the truck and went and told him a thing or two. Amen. In the parking, I don't know if I'd had that much courage. Amen. Might get dangerous if you do that after dark, but I mean, but you know what? It bothered her. You know how to bother us people dying going to hell. But this hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. In other words, you hate what it's doing to them. You hate them. You hate the ruination of their life. You hate what the bottle's doing to them. You hate what a life of sin's doing to them. You hate what drugs are doing to them. But you don't hate them. You hate the garment. You hate the sin, not the sinner. And then lastly, we need to be equipped with divine insight. And what I'm saying here is ask just ask God to give you a vision to see things like he sees. Help me to see things not the way I do it, with my opinion, but help me to see things the way you see it. Jeremiah 33, listen to this verse. I know this is a strange, different way than you heard this. Call to me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Listen, God has got some great and mighty things that he wants us to do. That doesn't, I've always read that verse, I'll show you wonderful, magnificent things which you don't know. But maybe he'll show us some great, mighty things, such as the way he sees things, which are great and mighty. I'll show you from my perspective, and it'll blow your mind what you see. Call unto me. Ask me. Yeah, you may be having to get right with me, but boy, when we get close, when I get my hands on you, when I fill you with the power you were supposed to have all along, it's amazing what you'll be able to do in my name, in my power, for my glory. No telling what God would do with Faith Baptist Church if we just started praying fervently, earnestly for the power of God, soul winning. And I close with this verse, 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Do you love him? Would you let him have you? Now that I've made it clear as to what that I want to do, what I want to do is, it's really Satanism. It's Satan working. It's the workings of the evil one in our life. Can you confess that to God and turn loose of it and let him have the rest of your life that you wouldn't let him have? And just see what you can do with a full tank. Amen? With the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. Oh, if we just let go of some things. Let me tell you something. Pray for me. There's things I want to let go of. Amen? I mean, I just wonder, I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but I wonder how many of us sitting here tonight, if we were honest with ourselves and with God, would say, there are really some things I want to let go of. If you just do it, just let him have it, it'd be revolutionary. It's amazing what God can do if we just humble ourselves before him. Let's stand together. Our Father, we lift these things up to you tonight. Lord, the best we know how, we come to you now. And Lord, we do ask you, work in these people's lives. Father, I just pray that you would bless the invitation now. God, that you would stir us to give you our all, to let you have it. Lord, I just pray that nothing would stand in our way, Lord, from having Holy Ghost power in our life. Oh, Lord, I just pray tonight you bless. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stacked in stones for you and me, for the children to see.